Have you here tonight for our Wednesday night Bible study? And if you're watching on live stream tonight from home, most of our scriptures are going to be put on the screen behind us, and I have them really all on the handout. And as we're finishing up our missions emphasis month, I've been preaching on missions for the last 3 weeks. And we took up the beginning of our faith promise offering on this past Sunday. And it looks like, Lord willing, at this point we're going to exceed last year's faith promise per week. So that's a blessing. Amen? And so that's great. That's really great. So what I would like to do tonight, it's going to be a little bit different. I was actually going to start a new, just a short three-week Bible study on the whole idea of being a thankful people. And because the Bible says in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. But tonight, I just want to kind of just focus on missions. And I'm not sure this Sunday if we'll be preaching on missions to kind of close it out or not. I'm not preaching. Pastor Ethan is, but I'll leave that up to him. But sometimes when we're praying, you might wonder, well, How can I effectively pray for the missionaries? No, you don't ever want to get caught up in the whole idea of, Lord, bless all of our missionaries around the world. Amen. You want to be a little bit more personal than that. And so tonight's Bible study is really something that I read years ago and then made a few changes and put this together. But it's really 10 points, and we're going to go through these 10 points quickly. So if you don't have a handout, you need a handout. There could be some in front of you in the hymnal racks, but it'll kind of help you, I think, to get a better perspective on how to pray for our missionaries, because they depend so desperately on our prayers. You heard Brother Harmon say, or maybe it was Mrs. Harmon when she gave a short testimony on Sunday morning, it's often our money that gets the missionary to the mission field, but it's our prayers that keeps the missionary on the mission field. And the statistics run something like this. 50% of missionaries don't even make it through deputation. They don't even get to the field. And then then once they get to the field, it's something like 25% that make it to the mission field. They only stay for one term. So think about that, and that's kind of amazing. But so all of our scriptures are here. I don't have a scripture to start out with. I'm glad Ethan read those scriptures this to get the service started. But if you want to use your Bible instead of look on the handout, that's fine as well. But I'm going to start out by reading 2 Thessalonians. I don't know if there's a misprint on yours, but I misspelled Thessalonians, so if I did on yours, forgive me. But 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1, our first point is going to be God's Word. We're praying that God's Word would be effective. And so I'm going to read this scripture, and then I'm going to have a short word of prayer. Paul writes to the church in Thessalonica, and he says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the Word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you." Let's pray. Father, we ask that you'd bless our Bible study tonight, that you'd speak to our hearts in a very real, powerful, and personal way. Help us, Lord, as we do this study to understand how we can more effectively pray for our missionaries. In Jesus' name, amen. So the idea here behind free course, and Paul, of course, is writing this, is that whether it was Paul or whether it's our missionaries, we need to pray that when the Word of God is preached, that they can preach it, when I say freely, I mean spiritually freely, and that it accomplishes its purpose. You know, the preaching of God's Word, Satan will do everything that he can to hinder. He is the great hinderer, amen? He will do everything that he can to hinder the preaching of God's Word. And our missionaries find themselves in different places at different times on the mission field, and sometimes there's a great hindrance. They're preaching to a people who have been oftentimes spiritually blinded, to what God is trying to do in their lives. So we want to communicate that. So think about some things on the mission field. They go to a different culture. And so they want to be able to preach to that culture, and the Word of God goes forth freely. They're living in a particular country where there may be one particular religious system, so they're having to deal with that as well. They're living in a culture or a place where there's maybe political things that they're even dealing with. They're also having to deal with family issues, not their own family issues. I'll say more about that in a few minutes, but when someone on the mission field comes to know Christ as their Savior, they're coming out of a family. And that family may be deeply ingrained in some other religious system, some other way of life. And so there's that whole issue that they're dealing with. So as we pray for our missionaries, we want to pray that the Word of God would be effective when they're preaching the Word of God, so that they could have free course. That's what Paul wrote. Remember, I looked a little bit at this on this past Sunday morning, but if you remember that there in 1 Thessalonians, one of the things that Paul commended the church in Thessalonica was from turning from idols to serve the one true living God. So when you're preaching and when he was in a world like that, that was filled with idol worship, the Word of God has to penetrate through a religious system, a belief system that's been ingrained in people. And of course, we know that he was depending upon the Holy Spirit to do that. He said in 1 Corinthians, I come not to you with any great demonstration of speech, but I'm just paraphrasing that, but by the power of the Spirit of God. So that's so dependent. And we need to pray that the power of the Spirit of God would be on our missionaries. But then look at the second one here. We need to pray. And by the way, when I give you these 10, what I'm not saying is this. I'm not saying when you go down the missionary list, pray for each of these 10 points, like, you know, God help for Lord, help your word when it's being preached to be effective, and help, Lord, for your word to be glorified. But the idea is to kind of incorporate these 10 points and kind of, in your own words, think about these different points. Does that make sense when you're praying for these missionaries? So God's word needs to be glorified. And for that to happen, it's very important as we pray for our missionaries that the missionaries glorify God in their lives. One of the first steps towards gaining an understanding of the Bible is for someone to learn to have a respect for the Bible, for someone to learn to understand that this is not just the words of men, that these are the very words of God. And one of the fastest ways for that not to happen is for the missionary to do something that would tear down that respect. You know, when Paul wrote to Timothy, you remember some of the qualifications he said for a preacher. He said, Timothy, you know, the man of God, he must be vigilant. He must be sober-minded. He must be of good behavior. Apt to teach, a lover of hospitality. So when we're praying for our missionaries, think of it that way. They need to maintain a good testimony on the mission field so that the Word of God, when the missionary is preaching the Word of God, that the people listening to the preaching of the Word of God have a respect for the Word of God, and they have a respect for the man of God who's doing the preaching. They need to have a good testimony. I mean, just think about it. If a man is preaching and then he's hypocritical in his life, I heard a story some time ago. A young man told this story that he was thinking of attending a particular church, and he walked into a supermarket or a grocery store or something like that, and he had, I believe, if I remember correctly, he had visited this church, and the pastor was in that grocery store just reaming out his kids or something like that. He wasn't having a good testimony. And he thought, wow, I don't know if I want to go to that church, you know, with the way this fellow's behaving. So, you know, and maybe even if we gave him, I wasn't there. So apparently it made an impact on this young man, and that wasn't the church for him. So we need to maintain a good testimony. The missionary needs to maintain a good testimony because we want people, whether it's here or whether on the mission field, that they understand the Word of God is being preached. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Let's read it out loud together. I'm going to have you read these verses together with me when we hit them each time. Let's begin. For this cause, also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. And so important that the word of God is glorified, and it's glorified in a way that the preacher of the word of God is doing and living a life that's pleasing unto the Lord. But then here's another thing that we need to think about with regards to our missionaries. We need to pray in their protection from wicked men. You know, it's true that we often say this, that God uses people. Amen? God uses people. But you know who else uses people? Satan uses people. He uses people. And we understand that our warfare, we understand in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 down through what's about 18, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Take on the whole armor of God, the Bible says. But it reminds us there that we fight against principalities and we fight against powers. Those aren't men. Those are actually spiritual beings. But we're also reminded of this, that many times the way the rulers of the darkness of this world, that's how they're influenced. They're influenced by spiritual beings that are at war with the things of God. And they reveal their work through people. And on the mission field, there are people who will try to hinder the work of God. Actually, in a church, Satan will use people in a church to hinder the preaching of God's word. Satan will even use Christians to hinder the preaching and the teaching of God's word. And but our missionaries, we need to pray for their protection, and that they'll be protected against people who would do them harm and seek to do them harm. They need to be strengthened. They have to deal with this on the mission field. So Romans chapter 15 in our handout. Read this one out loud with me, won't you please? Romans 15:30. Now I beseech you, brethren. By the way, what does the word beseech mean? Somebody tell me. To beg. It really means to beg. So Paul he's begging readers. I beseech you, you brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit. Let's read it out loud now, right? Begin here. That ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. He was begging people to pray for him. All throughout Paul's writings in the epistles, he's begging for people to pray for him. He's involved in a spiritual warfare and need to be protected from wicked men. We're mindful of Paul's testimony and how, you know, Paul, he had to deal with robbers. He had to deal with being beaten. He had to deal with religious leaders that hated him. He had to deal with political leaders that hated him. He had to deal with all kinds of people that didn't care for him. But our missionaries, it's the same. Our missionaries also have to deal with people who, they don't want them there. I remember, I wasn't pastor here long, but someone came up to me that lives on this street, and I don't know why he was upset that day, but he says, we don't really want your kind in this town. I said, really? He said, yeah. We don't really want your kind here. And I said, okay. Well, I'm still here, and he's not. So anyhow, that's what people deal with. People deal with that. And missionaries deal with that. Go to the next point here. We need to pray that our missionaries have a right relationship with God. A right relationship with God. Now, it's important all of us are going to have a right relationship with God, is that we spend time in God's Word. Wouldn't you say that's important? Amen? So let's read 2 Timothy 2:15. Let's all of us read 2 Timothy 2:15 out loud. All right, let's begin. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, we need to pray. Did you ever think about this? To your missionaries on the mission field, they need to be studying the word of God and growing. You might think, well, they're on the mission field. Well, yeah, but it's no different than believers here at home and even pastors here at home. Pastors have to be reading and studying and growing in the faith. Well, our missionaries have to be reading and studying and growing in the faith. They need to have a good relationship with God and the Bible so that they can teach God's word from a point of confidence. They have to have a desire to study the word of God. They have to have a passion so they can teach the word of God. They need to have a good prayer life on the mission field. It's easy to get discouraged on the mission field. Why? Like I said earlier, close to half never even make it to the mission field, and 25% make it. They're home after their first term, and they don't go back. It's not an easy place to be. And they need to keep and have a healthy relationship with God. I'm starting to get letters now from our missionaries that they're. I just read some letters before tonight's service, and so I also get some letters from missionaries that we don't support that have been here and just presented their work. But many of them that have been home during COVID are now being let back or getting ready to be let back into the country that God has called them to, and they're excited to get back to that country. They're excited to preach and teach the word of God and to be with the people that God has called them to, because that's where they need to be. And as they study God's word and they're strengthened in the faith, that's where God will have them to be, and they'll stay. They'll stay. Now here's one that I wonder if you pray for this next one, a right relationship with their family. A right relationship with their family. So we expect missionaries to be more mature with their spouses than most people, but not all the time is that the case. Some missionaries have come home from the mission field and their marriages have fallen apart. And there's a lot of stress on the mission field. A lot of stress. I just had a conversation actually with one of the missionaries that we used to support who is now in the United States, and he's been called to pastor a church, and he gave me a call yesterday, and there's a situation that he asked my advice about with regards to the church and what they're paying him and so on and so forth. And I reminded him, I said to this fellow, I said, listen, you know that the strain of the ministry emotionally and spiritually, and then I said, if you add on top of that financially, can become so great that it can have a detrimental effect upon your family. And I've said a few other things to him, and he appreciated what I had to say. But on the mission field, we need to pray. We need to pray for the marriages. The different missionaries who are married, we need to pray for the husbands and the wives and their marriages, and we need to pray for their children. We need to pray that their children are protected on the mission field. We need to pray for their spiritual well-being and as well as their physical well-being. Their relationship on the mission field is a great example of all those that they're ministering to. We need to pray for those couples. I wrote here 1 Peter 3:8. 1 Peter chapter 3 is a great chapter in the Bible. It deals with the relationship between husbands and wives. And I'm not going to get into the whole chapter tonight, but it talks about the responsibility of the wife to the husband. It talks about the responsibility of the husband to the wife. And Peter kind of sums it up with 1 Peter 3:8 and that relationship. He says this. Read it out loud with me now, won't you please? Finally, let me just stop there. So in other words, he's already talked about the wives. He's already talked about the husbands and their relationship. And he says this. Now let's read it. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful, be courteous. Just kind of summing up that relationship. We also know, like, for instance, in Ephesians, where it talks about the role of the wives and the husbands, but then it kind of sums it up this way, where it says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. So it's so important we pray for the families. We pray that the families remain strong on the mission field, because the pressures can become enormous. And so important that we're mindful of that. All right, now the next point. We need to remember the country that they're in. You know, some countries welcome missionaries and some countries do not welcome missionaries. And that can be a real struggle. When we were in Belarus, we were working with about 5 different missionaries on a Bible distribution campaign. But one of the missionaries told me that another missionary that was kind of heading this up, that he spent a good amount of his time dealing with the Belarusian government, just keeping the missionaries in the country, trying to keep them there. And it's true in some countries. They may have allowed them into the country, but there are officials looking for ways to boot missionaries out of the country. And that's always a very difficult thing to deal with. Then you have to deal with government paperwork. And, you know, one government official can deal with your paperwork one way. Another government official can deal with your paperwork another way. And it's just a lot of stress. One government official can tell the missionary one set of rules. Another government official can tell the missionary another set of rules. The whole political and economic situation in those countries can change, really, in a heartbeat, overnight. And Brother Harmon, when he was here, he had to deal with the Peruvian government. There was a car accident, and a man was killed in that car accident. And the stress of dealing with that, the Peruvian legal system isn't like the American legal system. And so you have to, you know, you're not in America. You have to deal with Peruvian law and all of that. There's a lot to it. But we have an example in the Bible. Paul understood that, and he was arrested. And in Acts chapter 22, having been arrested and then he was beaten, the chief captain came, and you notice that on the bottom it says this, "Tell me, art thou a Roman?" And he said, "Yea." And the chief captain answered, "With a great sum obtained I this freedom." And Paul said, "No, I was freeborn." And that official got worried. Paul was a Roman citizen. Paul had Roman rights, and they weren't obeying those rights that he had. But the missionary in the foreign field, he needs to know what his rights are in Peru or in Brazil or in whatever country. And he has to deal with all of that. It's a lot of pressure. They wait online sometimes to get paperwork and to get legal things done or to be able to stay in the country. It's stuff we just kind of take it all for granted. Their visas come up. And they have to renew their visas. Sometimes some missionaries, they have to leave the country and then they can come back into the country to get their visa. It's all part of what a missionary deals with. And then the next point, missionaries' relationships with other missionaries. It's sad to say, I think this is probably not the rule, it's probably more infrequent, but sometimes missionaries have problems on the field with other missionaries. Now, it's been my experience dealing with all of our missionaries that most of the time, missionaries have good relationship with other missionaries, even if they're not from the same movement, per se. So, I know, for instance, one of the missionaries we support, so he's an independent Baptist. But he has a good relationship with a Southern Baptist. Or another missionary we used to support, he's an independent Baptist. But there was on the same mission field some missionaries from the Missionary Alliance movement. And they try to find common ground. Obviously, if there's somebody there on the mission field and they're teaching a false doctrine, it's pretty hard to find common ground. But think of this. You're in a mission field, and all of a sudden, you know, a few miles down the road, there's another American family, another American couple. And I've heard missionaries say this, and it's Thanksgiving. And you're not in the States. What do? They'll get together. When I was in Belarus, one of the missionaries told me this, "Well, we don't really see each other much except on the 4th of July we all get together and we celebrate Independence Day." And he said, "Thanksgiving, some of us get together." And so they get along. And it's important for them to get along. But look at Acts chapter 15 in our handout. Acts 15:39. The contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other, and so Barnabas took Mark and sailed into Cyprus. And I don't have it there, but Paul took Silas. There was contention. And Paul was a little bit upset because Mark had left them previously, and he didn't want to work with him. Later on, by the way, in the scriptures, they would come back together, and it seems as if they worked things out. But it's important that our missionaries and the relations that our missionaries have on the mission field. How about this one? Language and communication skills. Praying that our missionaries would be able to communicate well. How about going to the mission field and having to learn a language? You know, that's mind-boggling. I took 4 years of Spanish in high school, and I don't even know how I passed. I have no idea how I passed. But I can just still remember a few sayings. But then I think about it, man, having to learn the language. And I remember going up, we helped the family move to Quebec City to go to school at the University of Laval to learn French. And they ended up where did they end up? In the Ivory Coast of Africa. And so he said to me, Brother Maltzik, he said, come on to church with us this Sunday. We're going to go to a French-speaking church. And so I went with him. I didn't understand a thing in that French-speaking church. But what he said, I just wanted you to experience what it's like in that situation. So think of that. Missionaries go to a mission field. They have to learn the language. They have to learn how to communicate. They have to learn all of what goes along with it. And sometimes you get a letter back from a missionary, and the missionary, it'll be a funny kind of a letter because they'll say, yeah, I preached for the first time, but I was supposed to say in that language one thing, and then I ended up saying something that was completely off, and everybody laughed at me. It's all part of dealing with it. So learning and praying for our missionaries, especially the ones that are on deputation, they have to learn the language. And that's not an easy task. And have good language skills so they can communicate the Bible. In Acts 2:4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Well, that was a one-time event in the Bible. Pentecost. But our missionaries still depend on the Holy Spirit to help them learn the language. It's a little different dynamic, obviously, than Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. But you notice the last word? Say out loud that last word in Acts chapter 2, verse 4. It is the word what? Utterance. You know what utterance means? Anybody know what that word means? It's found throughout the scriptures quite a bit. Paul asks for people to pray that God would give him utterance. To speak, yeah, go ahead. Yeah, to speak intelligently, to speak with understanding, to speak with knowledge. And that's so important. So that again, the Word of God can have free course. So we need to pray about that. When we start to pray, our new missionary that's going to the mission field, do you pray? Do you pray that God would give them and help them to learn whatever that language might be? And then their physical and emotional needs. They're going to a different culture. They're going to a different place. They have to learn all of that and get acclimated to all of that. And yeah, there's places that have diseases that you don't have to deal with in the United States. There's places that it's a lot more physical to live. Think of our missionaries in Papua New Guinea, especially the Allens who lived out in the brush. I mean, there's a lot to deal with there. And we need to pray for that. Just simple things like going food shopping can be a real task. You're on some mission fields, you just can't get in the car and head down to the corner hardware store. These are all things that missionaries deal with. Your car breaks down, you need a mechanic, all things that missionaries deal with. In Philippians 2:30, let's read this one out loud. Paul writes this about Epaphroditus. He says this, let's begin. Because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. Listen, many times missionaries are facing things on the mission field. They can get sick. And our missionaries that used to be in Papua New Guinea, the Taylors, I distinctly remember his wife got very sick. And I remember him on a furlough saying, I put my wife, what was Terry's wife's name, Shelley? Do you remember? Carol. I remember putting Carol on the plane, and I was thinking, this will be the last time I ever see her on earth. That's how sick she got. And that happens. Now, she survived that. But both of them, they're retired from the mission field now, but the mission field and living where they lived, it just took a toll on them physically. I mean, it just took a toll. They didn't care, though. They didn't care. So do you ever think about that, praying for their physical and emotional needs? Epaphroditus, he almost died for the gospel's sake. And then lastly, we need to pray for laborers. It's on the back here of the last point. Praying for people to go to the mission field. And we've had a number of missionaries leave the field this year. And we're looking to bring on new missionaries. And we just, the Mortensons are a family. There's a family that's been in England that came here many years ago, the Snowds. They first were in Ireland, started churches there, and now they're in England. That's a difficult mission field, England. And not difficult like the jungle. I'm talking about spiritually difficult. And they're starting churches there. They're about to start another church, and that's a family. They went back. They just got back because of COVID, and they went back with 75% of their support level. And so that's a missionary family that probably is one that we might consider taking them on. But we need to pray for laborers to go to the mission field. Matthew 9:37. Let's read this out loud, and we'll be done here. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. The laborers are few. In Jesus' day, the laborers are few. And today, the laborers are few. Praying for men and women to go to the mission field and to preach the gospel and churches to be established. So I did this tonight. I listed for you. My hope would be, stick this in your Bible, take it home with you, just kind of remember to review it. But all of our missionaries are on here, all of that we support now. Almost all of them at $100 per month. We don't support the cooks at $100 per month in Canada. They're kind of like semi-retired. We support them at $25 per month. And we don't support the McCormicks at $100 a month either. We support them at $25 a month because he can go to churches and raise and preach and receive love offerings. He's not really on the mission field per se. It's a little bit different mission. But all the rest of them, I believe, to the best of my knowledge, we're supporting at $100 per month. And so praise the Lord for that. But I put these on here tonight, and I did not purposely hand out a prayer list tonight. But we do have a couple of prayer requests, and we'll go ahead and you can write those on here, and I'll make sure they get on the prayer list. But really what I wanted you to do tonight is just to pray for the missionaries. Just pray for each of these missionaries. And some of the things that we talked about, some of the points that are on here. Again, my point isn't for you to take these 10 points and pray for each missionary 10 times. It's to kind of help you to get a feel for some of the things that you need to pray for regarding missions and what they face on the mission field. So let's have a word of prayer, and then Ethan will come. He will, actually, I can do these missionary requests here, and then we can have a word of prayer. You want me to do that? All right, well, then come on up. I'll have you do this. Let's have a short word of prayer, and then he'll come, and then we'll go to prayer. Father, thank you for just this time that we could be reminded of what our missionaries face on the mission field. And Lord, help us not to take it for granted, and the struggles and the stress that they have to deal with, the challenges that they have to deal with. Help us, Lord, not only to be faithful in our finances, but help us to remember when we're praying for them, they're just not a name on a piece of paper, that they have lives, they have families, they have stress in their life, they have financial issues in their life, they have health issues in their life, they have political and governmental issues that they have to deal with, and other things that we've mentioned tonight. Help us to be mindful of that, not to take it for granted. In Jesus' name, amen.